just want to share just something, again, God put on my heart. I was reading the Gospels, and you read about how Jesus so worked with his apostles, those 12 apostles. And they weren't any, you know, great men when they first started out, tax collectors and fishermen and things like that. But what Jesus did was, after 3.5 years, approximately 3.5 years, he really started to work with them to change them. Because he knew now that when he ascended and gone to heaven, they now were going to be the church. They now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were now going to be the church and now speak and start churches and send people out and just begin that New Testament church. Before that happened, he had to get something in their heart. Oh, and he did a lot of teachings. He taught about healings and great teachings about doctrine and about how to pray and so many things. But I think one thing that he had to get in their heart before they went on, before they went to become that New Testament church and walk in that power of the Holy Ghost, they had to have, I believe, a few things, but one thing more than another, settle in their heart. And I think God says to it today to us too, that even before we go on and everything that we have, our studies, our activities and all that we do here, we have to get something straight first. We got to get something settled first. And one of the things that Jesus wanted to get, I believe, in an apostle's heart. Let me give you the scripture first and then we'll go there. I'll tell you what that may be. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 21, and this will show us what I'm speaking about. In Matthew 21, let's get there. Pretty soon there's going to be 3 feet of snow on the ground. You'll be shoveling snow, throwing snowballs. You're not supposed to, but you will. And then right. In Matthew chapter 21, let's get there. And right in verse 21, look what Jesus said. One of the things that Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do these things which is done to this fig tree." Remember, Jesus cursed that fig tree. "But also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." And I love the first part of it, which says, if you have faith and doubt not. If you have faith, that's good. But he's saying to his apostles, don't doubt me. When you start to walk now, when you listen to me preach, when you hear these teachings, and we see these miracles, if you have faith, do one thing. Don't doubt me. Don't doubt who I am. Don't doubt what I say I could do. Don't doubt my word. Don't doubt my character. Don't doubt my nature. One thing he was telling his apostles, that in all that you do, in all the myriad of activities that you do, one thing you got to get settled in your heart. Don't doubt me in any area of this word. Don't doubt me in any part of the Bible. He says the same thing in Mark 2. I think in Mark chapter 11, he says, if you don't doubt in your heart, the faith that you will have, you'll be able to move those mountains. Now, he's not talking about literal mountains. He's talking about those mountains that come up in our life, those things that try to stop us, the things that try to overwhelm us, the things that try to kind of squash us and knock us out and make us go back and discourage us and deter us. Those are the kind of mountains he's speaking about. But he's saying something so clearly that we need to hear that. One thing that you have to have settled, don't doubt my word. Don't doubt anything about me, because it's going to be tested. It's going to be challenged. It's going to be tested in a whole lot of ways. Sometimes that the devil may come up in a trial or a tribulation or something, and he may press you. What do you really believe? Do you really believe that God heals? Do you really believe that you are forgiven, especially for those crazy sins that you did way back when? Do you really believe that he loves you and your day is new every morning? Do you really believe that he's faithful, even when you don't see it, even when that tragedy happened? And you can remember back and say, oh my Lord, that was one of the worst tragedies you've ever been through. Devil comes and lies and says, if God really loved you, would he have allowed that to happen? If God really cared for you, would he have protected you? And all of a sudden, God's faithfulness is on the auction block. And what the devil tries to do is try to make you doubt somewhere. Maybe not all of doctrine, because he can't do that. Maybe there's a hairline fracture in your suit of armor somewhere. Maybe there's something where maybe you're not that sure of. Maybe some things in the Word of God, you know, that's it. But maybe there's some things that I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this particular thing. I don't know if he really loves me as much as he say he does. I don't know if he's as faithful as maybe what other people say. I don't know if his will is to hold me and to heal me and to love me and to use me and to minister through me. And sometimes the devil comes and he tries to cause doubts. He tries to get you somewhere. Probably in a vulnerable area of our life, probably something that we've been through. He tries to do that. And Jesus always spoke to the apostles, when he spoke to them, maybe remember when he gave the parable of the sower and the seed. And one of the first things he said to his apostles when he took them aside to explain the parable, he said to them, hey, listen, that seed is the word of God. And watch out for that seed that falls on a wayside. Because that seed that falls on a wayside is a seed that is sown, but the devil comes to try to take the word out of your mouth so you won't believe. And that's the exact scripture, so you won't believe. See, the devil comes somehow to try to get the word out of you. Somehow, some way. Because his result wants to be is that you don't believe, that you doubt God. See, somehow he wants to twist or malign or do something with that word to make you not believe it. Because if you don't believe it, how are you going to stand on it? Not only for ministry, but for you personally and us personally. If we don't believe that word, if we doubt that word, how can we possibly stand on it? How can we trust something we're not sure of? How can we walk out in our life fully and forcibly and have some doubts that maybe part of it isn't true? Mm-mm. It's all true. Even when Jesus went into his hometown, Nazareth, remember that story? The Word of God says he wanted to do mighty works. He wanted to knock their socks off. They weren't wearing socks, but he wanted to knock their socks off. He wanted to make them crazy with absolute miracles. But the Word of God says, because they doubted him. Wait a minute, this is Jesus. We saw him grow up. Wait a minute. This is the carpenter's son. He fixed my chair a couple years ago. He made that kitchen table for me a couple. What do you mean he's God? What do you mean he's God? And they doubted him. And because they doubted who he was, they doubted what he can do. Anytime you doubt who he is, you got to doubt what he can do in your life. And they doubted, and the Word of God says he only did a couple things, a couple healings here and there. But he wanted to do so much more, but he couldn't. Why? There was doubt. Is it really God? Can he really do what he says he's going to do? Is all this stuff really true? And even the apostles, it's amazing that one day this father brought his son to the apostles and he wanted to cure his son. His son had some problems. He always threw himself into the fire and foamed at the mouth. And the man brought the son to the apostles, and the apostles tried to heal him and lay hands on him, do all these things, and they couldn't do it. So here comes Jesus. And the father goes to Jesus, Jesus, come on. I took my son to your apostles and they couldn't do anything. And so Jesus comes and says, how long am I going to be with you, old faithless generation? He lays hands on a boy and the boy gets healed immediately. And the apostles ask him a few minutes later, hey, Jesus, we did the same thing. You know, we prayed the exact same prayer you prayed, as a matter of fact. We touched our hands on his head, the exact same place where you did. We did everything you did. How come we couldn't heal him? And Jesus always hits the nail right on the head. And you could read this later. It always hits the nail on the head. He says, because of your unbelief. Because there was something in your heart that you doubted. That you doubted maybe this boy was going to be healed. Maybe you doubted that I could work through you, or the Spirit of God can work through you. There was something in there that you doubted. That's why you couldn't do it. That's why you, even though you sound like me and talk like me and walk like me, there was no heart there. There was no faith there. There was something in you that doubted. And Jesus always upbraided, the Word of God says, his apostles, even at the Last Supper. It's amazing. The Word of God said Jesus had to yell at him at the Last Supper. That word upbraided. Jesus upbraided them. That's a nice King James word for it. He let them have it. He let them have it between the eyes. Guys, I've been with you 3.5 years and you still doubt me? Oh, my Lord, you still doubt what I can do and what I say? And even when Jesus was ascending into heaven, the Word of God says they all gathered and looked and some doubted. Whoa. You mean even when Jesus was rising into heaven, some doubted? And that's in Matthew 28. Oh, my Lord. You know what that word doubt means? To have a lack of confidence. To have a lack of confidence in someone or in something. That word means to distrust, to lack a conviction about something. The actual definition is to have uncertainty of belief or opinion that interferes with your decisions. Let me read that again. To have uncertainty or belief or an opinion that interferes with your decisions. See, if you're uncertain about something, it's going to be hard to make a decision about it. If there's wavering back and forth, and we know what the Word of God says about wavering, the man who wavers will receive nothing, that double-minded man. See, but the definition of doubt is, if you have uncertainty, if you're not sure, if you're not sold out, if you're not able to say, Lord God, I know that 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 I know, God, every jot and tittle in this word is absolutely true, God, and I bank my life on it. I bank my life on it. See, that's where we got to get. See, maybe there, maybe not there. I don't know, but that's where I had to get in my life. That's where I had it, because when things happen, you know, the things sometimes come to challenge your faith. And sometimes people in their well-meaning attitudes say crazy things. But you have to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to bank your life, every decision, everything you do, every future you have, you're going to bank your life on exactly what this word says. Why? Because I choose to believe it. I choose to believe it. I choose. Well, it doesn't make sense. You mean God really stopped the sun and the moon and the stars to give Joshua that victory years ago? Yes, I believe it. You mean, come on, wait a minute. God really opened up the Red Sea? I mean, come on. I mean, the Egyptians are coming. You know, how could they walk in it was mud and all the rocks? And I mean, maybe figuratively, yeah, he opened up a way in their life. And spiritually, they... No. Yes, I believe God opened up that Red Sea. Do you believe that God, that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead? I mean, the guy was in there 3 days, and behold, he stinks. I mean, come on, you know, why can't he do it before he started stinking? Give me a break, and give me doing something here. But what happened? Yeah, I believe that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. Because I believe it all. Because if there's none, not, if there's one part that we don't know in our heart, don't believe, it's going to start to cause doubt and unbelief in our heart. And whatever your future is, whatever God has for you, whether it's in ministry or lay ministry or working and being the best you can on the job that God would have for you, see, what do you believe? See, what do you believe? See, a lot of us came here in a lot of different ways, a lot of different backgrounds. But it always funnels down to the same thing. What do you really believe in your heart? Even at this point, because we're all at different levels of faith and growth, I know that. But whatever faith, whatever era of faith and growth you're at, what do you believe? What's in your heart? Are there some things that maybe, you know, Lord, I'm not sure of. I don't know. See, that's okay as long as we bring them to God. And he can grow us in those things. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. I want to share something with you. Philippians chapter 3. Let's get there. Philippians chapter 3. Amen. That's New Testament, right? Philippians is New Testament? Okay, just making sure because I... No. Philippians chapter 3. You know, the famous scripture, very, very well-read scripture about Paul. Remember he said the things, I counted all things lost for Christ. Let's read that. And I want to share something with you. In Philippians 3, right in verse 7. Again, Paul writing, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them that as dung, that I may win Christ. Look at that certainty of Paul. Everything I've done in the past, Paul said, that's all dung. That's all garbage. That, it doesn't matter anymore. I count all those things lost. Why? I'm going forward in Christ. How could Paul say that? How could Paul say that? Because sometimes we forget a little word that he put in here that I purposely read over pretty fast. Look at verse 8. He says, yea, doubtless. Doubtless. Sometimes we don't see that word. Yea, doubtless. What's Paul saying? I don't have a doubt. That's why I could say all these things in my past are gone. They're dung. I don't need them anymore. I don't want them anymore. I got my Christ, and to win him, to possess him is everything for me. To walk in his will and his ways is everything to me. Why? I don't have any more doubts. All my doubts were settled, praise God. I know that every word he said is true. I know that who he is and what he said he could do. I know it, and I'm doubtless. See, that's where we have to get, doubtless. I don't have a doubt about the word of God. I don't have a doubt about who he is or what he could say he could do. I don't have a doubt that he's faithful to me. I don't have a doubt that he loves me. I don't have a doubt that he so cares for me and is involved in my life. I don't have a doubt. I don't have a doubt. See, how could we go on until we kind of settle that in our hearts? And it's different for everybody. But I think today God wants us to think about that. You know, I saw the thing back here as we were praising God about a year of decision. And Joshua choose you this day. Well, how can Joshua choose? He was doubtless. He was doubtless. He didn't have any more doubts. He knew that he knew that this was God. Boy, I remember when I used to work in the world, and I was a couple of things, a marriage and family counselor. I worked in drug addiction field and police and fire counseling, employee counseling, a few things. And I had this great job. I was at for about 10 years. I worked my way up from an entry-level counselor to head of the whole superintendent program. It was great. Great money. Cars. It was wonderful. And then God always has a sense of humor, and he called me into ministry. And he called me to be a minister. And I remember going to my boss, who was a superintendent at the time. We worked together for 10 years on all these projects within town in the school system about counseling and drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. And we worked so well together. So I was going to his office to let him know that I got the call to be a minister. I got this job as a staff minister at this small little church in Pennsylvania down there. And my salary was going to be what I ate for lunch on my other job. It was unbelievable. So I go in his office. And his name is Bob. I said, Bob, I got something to tell you. And he's all excited. Hey, we got this new program coming in. We just got funded from the state. Blah, blah. Before you go on, I'm going to be leaving. What? And this was my friend, mind you. I'm going to be leaving. So, what, you going to another district? Another? He says, no, I'm going to go and be a minister. He got so mad at me. He started to yell at me. This is a guy who were best friends. He started yelling at me. What do you mean you're leaving? We built this program on you. We got this coming up. Ba, ba, ba. You've been here. Ba, ba. All the, he said, I'm going to destroy your reputation. You leave this place. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to call the state. All these people, tell them you're no good. And he was just berating me. And I was sitting there going, whoa, I didn't expect this. And I'm starting to tear up a little bit because it's an emotional thing anyway. So he throws me out of his office. My best friend for 10 years. He throws me out of his office. And I'm just, Lord, what is going on here? I'm just so upset. I get in my car. I got 10 people lined up in my office to see me. I get in my car. I drive to this secluded spot. This was in New Jersey at the time. And I park under a tree, and I start tearing. I say, Lord God, did I miss you? Did I miss you? Because if I missed you, God, if I'm doing something so stupid, God, I'm going to go back there, tell Bob, I'm sorry. Bob, I had a bidet. It must be Arjun. I don't know what it is. Give me my job back. It'll be okay. It won't be a problem. Because I really thought I missed God. Because things happened that I thought didn't think were going to happen. And God just so spoke to me in that parked car on the side of a street in Cranford, New Jersey. And I just started to say, God, did I miss you? And he said, no, you didn't miss me. And he says, are you willing to count it all dung? Yes, Lord. I said, well, then it's my call. I'm calling you to do this. And I started to cry, not because I was going to leave my job, but I started to cry because I heard. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew this was God. And I was willing to bank my life on it. My future, my family, my house, my everything. Because I knew. I was doubtless. And I went back to Bob. I was going to try to talk to him. He comes out of his office. He gives me a big hug. I'm so sorry. I blew it. You know, we love you. And if you feel the need to go, we're going to support you. And we've been friends, best friends ever since. But I had to get to a point where I knew it's God. And if I know it's God, if I know this thing is God, I'm not half-stepping. I'm not going to lack anything. I'm going full force. Because anything I did in my life, even sinning and crazy things, I did full force. So how can I not do full force with Jesus Christ? But I had to become doubtless. I had to know that this whole word was absolutely true. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 14. Absolute doubtless. Matthew chapter 14. It's another story that is spoken a lot. A lot of famous scriptures have come out of this story. But I want to share one thing that, just one aspect of it that God put on my heart. In Matthew chapter 14, right in verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. Let's get there. It's about that guy named Peter who had some little faith, enough faith to get him out of a boat and walk on water. I just want to share one thing with that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. And right in verse 22. Okay, let's follow this. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. And when Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, come bid me to come out on the water. And Jesus says, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus, But when he saw that the wind was boisterous and was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried and says, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? And I love that story. And again, it's, I don't have to go too much in depth with it, but one thing that I saw in the story related to doubt, you know, one thing about Christ, he never lets doubt go unaddressed. He never just blinks at doubt. Some way, somehow, he's going to bring you around to say, why did you doubt me? In that situation that happened, or maybe you didn't obey me in this situation because you felt otherwise, or maybe you thought this part of the word was maybe you didn't believe this. Why did you doubt? He'll always arrange something, somebody, some situation, or maybe even his touch on a life to give an answer. Why do we doubt? Because he doesn't let doubt go. He doesn't kind of wink at it and say, hey, no big problem, you'll catch it next time. No. Sometimes he goes to us just like Peter said, why'd you doubt me in that thing? You know, when you knew what my word says and kind of did something else, why'd you doubt me? Why? And here's Peter. He's walking out of the water. Now, the word of God says he's got little faith. I'll take little faith. That's good. If little faith will make me walk on water, praise God, I'll do that. So give me that little faith. And see, but something else happened. That wind came up, we know of, and he began to sink. And the word of God says he began to fear. He began to be afraid. He looked at the wind and the sea, and because he was afraid, he now began to sink. Fear is not the first thing that he went through. Because you know what happened? You know what I believe? When you have faith, little, big, or whatever, when you have faith and somehow fear gets in, there's a connection between faith and fear. What's that connection? Doubt. Doubt. Doubt let that fear in. Why? For maybe a split second when he saw those waves, maybe a split second, he started to question, wait a minute, I shouldn't be walking on water. Maybe for a split second, is Jesus going to hold me up? Maybe for a split second, wait a minute, the storms are going to knock me down. When he started to doubt that God was to hold him up, he opened the door to fear. And when he started to fear, he started to sink. See, you can't be afraid when you know that you know that you know that you know. But if doubt can get in, wait a minute, what did Jesus say? Did I miss him? Maybe Peter thought in that split second, did I hear that word come okay? Maybe Jesus was coughing and I misunderstood him. Maybe, wait a minute, water can't hold me up. What am I doing? And sometimes common sense tries to come in. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to walk on water. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be in Mount Zion. I had other plans. Well, how'd I get here? And common sense and reality sets in sometimes. Or maybe Peter thought, hey, I'm not too far. My safety boat with the guys in it is way over there now. And I'm not too far in this Christian thing. Man, I don't have a safety net no more. I don't have a safety boat that I can run into if this thing doesn't work. And all these things, I believe, started to come in Peter's mind in that lightning part of a second. Where he doubted just for a second. And when he doubted, that spirit of fear was right there looking for doubt. That's what the spirit of fear does. Who's doubting? Who's not sure of this thing? Who is having their faith challenged? And we all have our faith challenged. But when doubt gets in, fear seizes that as an opportunity. And when fear comes in, it starts to erode like a cancer. It erodes our faith. It erodes our hope. It erodes our joy. And all of a sudden, we become very normal. We become very common sense. Now, don't check your brains at the door. Bring your brains into God and He'll work with your mind and renew your mind. But watch out that in those tough situations, you don't start to doubt Him. That even if sometimes you may be in the worst situation you've ever thought, don't doubt Him. Because if you doubt Him, fear's coming in. You know, we mentioned that Red Sea before. Come on, now let's talk real. Those Israelites were just like us. You know, maybe they dressed a little bit differently. Okay, it had some different customs, but they were people. They had fear, anger, and pain just like we do. They loved each other. They had issues just like we do. So they were pretty much natural people. Sometimes we always get on them and say, wow, how could they be afraid? They were people. We get afraid sometimes. So here they are, and God led them right to this thing. And even Pharaoh, when they were at the Red Sea, even Pharaoh said, God is a bad tactician. He left them no way of escape. Well, God knows what He's doing. So here they are facing that Red Sea. They can't go to the left. There's a mountain range. They can't go to the right. There's a mountain range. And they got an enemy, crazy Egyptians, want to kill them. Now, come on. How would we feel? Put ourselves in that situation. There's no way out. We're not going to swim. We're not going to board together, go on that thing. We see the shining swords coming, and we know those Egyptians. They're the one who killed our cousins. They're the one who whipped us for 5 years. They're the ones who killed my people, my neighbor. I remember Joe, my neighbor. They chopped his head off because he wasn't working fast enough. And now they're coming to get me. And I hear the hoofprints of the chariots and horses. And I see the smoke. I hear them yelling that they want my blood. And sometimes, God, do you love me? How did I get in this spot? I thought you were leading me. I thought everything was going to be okay. How did I get here? There's no way out for me. It looks like I'm gone. It looks like it's all over. This thing's going to wipe me out. And what did they start to do? They started to doubt God. God, why did you bring us out here? They spoke to Moses, but they were rejecting God. God, why did you bring us out here? We should have stayed in Egypt. At least we had food. At least we were saved. We were slaves, but that's okay. And they started to doubt God's leading in their life. Why? They faced a tough time. Oh, my people, listen, you're gonna have your faith challenged. Get it settled. Some of you know what that's all about. Some of you will know what that's all about. But in that time of challenge, in that time that you're here at Mount Zion, when maybe things don't go right, when maybe you start to question, how did I get here? When maybe you run into a situation with a person that maybe brings out all these things in you, don't doubt God. Don't doubt His word to you. Don't doubt that He said to you, come out on the water. Come out on the water. You can do miracles. You can do it. You can do it. Maybe God's been the only one that's been telling you all your life. You can do it. Come on out. Come on out of the water. Come on out. Walk with me. It's okay. I got you. I'm not going to let you sink. And He says, don't doubt me. And God says, I know what you face. I know what you face. I know your heart. And I know some of the things that you may be going through. But God says, don't doubt me. And notice what He said to Peter. Now, Peter was afraid, right? The Word of God says that. We read that. Jesus never asked Peter, hey, Peter, you have little faith. Why are you afraid? He didn't ask him that. Because Jesus knew why he was afraid. What did Jesus say? Hey, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Doubt caused him to be afraid. And Jesus knew that. He didn't ask him, hey, Peter, why'd you get afraid for? Why are you scared, Peter? He didn't do that. What was Jesus going to? The jugular vein. Why'd you doubt? Because the source of his fear, the source of his sinking was doubt, not fear. It started with doubt. That's why, my people, in that storm that maybe we sometimes go through, don't doubt him. You heard from God. He's faithful to you. He's not going to let you sink. But you have to get something settled. And maybe today I can think of no better day than to start to get something settled in your heart. Lord, I believe you. I don't care what I face. I don't care what the devil may throw against me. I don't care what trials that you even allow, God, to test my faith. Lord Jesus, by the strength of the Holy Spirit inside me and by the power of God that rests in me, I choose to believe you. I'm not doubting anymore. No more. I'm not doubting your obedience. I'm not doubting your faithfulness. I'm not doubting how I got here, God. And when I face something, God, and things don't happen the way I think they should happen, God, I'm not doubting you, Jesus. I'm going on with you all the way, God. And God, if doubt tries to attack me, Lord Jesus, I give it to you. And sometimes you got to stay in that word, stay in prayer, stay in church. Get people around you who could lift you up and pray for you in those times of doubt, where doubt tries to attack you, and doubt tries to dismember you, and doubt tries to cause despair and discouragement in your life. Get those around you. It's okay to say, hey, I'm having attacks of doubt. Okay, let's pray. Come on, let's get in that word. Let's get in that word. Let's stand on that foundation. Because when those winds blow, what foundation do you stand on? Your experience? Someone else's faith? What do you stand on when those winds blow? And you know, and you know, and you know this already. We only have one foundation. Christ Jesus. Every word He said. Everything He ever said to you, about you, in the Word of God. Who He is in your life. Is He God? Is He everything? Because sometimes, you know what starts to creep in sometimes? There's reasons why we sometimes doubt. There's reasons why, just like Peter. Sometimes we doubt. Maybe, you know, maybe God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted Him to. you know, maybe God didn't do that. I think of people like, remember Eve? Not personally, but remember you read about her, right? All right, Eve, Adam and Eve, okay. Here she was in a garden. My Lord, she's in a garden. And she knows the word of God. God said, don't eat of this tree, but you can eat of every tree except this tree, blah, blah, blah. And she knew that. So here she is. I mean, where's your brains, Eve? She's right at the tree where God told her not to hang out with. And of course, here comes a snake. Don't talk to snakes. Please, snake tries to tempt you. You're walking in the field, you see a snake, and the snake goes to you, hello, how are you? It's good to see you today. Why don't you sin? Don't talk, don't answer back. Run, okay? You answer back, we'll have to set an appointment for you. But it's okay. Here she is talking to a snake, and the snake's going, hey, what did God say, Eve? Well, God says I could eat of this tree and that tree, but I can't eat of this tree. Because if I eat of this tree, I will surely die. That was God's word. So she knew God's word. If I eat of this tree, I will surely die. And what does that rotten, stinking snake do? You shall not surely die. He gets the word of God, and he comes against it and twists it. You won't die. It'll be okay. God just doesn't want you to be like him, because he's a God. You eat this stuff, you're going to be like a God. And he twists the word. See, you know what God said to you in his word? Watch out that sometimes when we doubt, we don't cling to his word. And sometimes we start to entertain those doubts. There are whole churches, my people. And sometimes they do a thing on the emerging church. They've taken out sin, taken out hell, taken out the cross. Why? Because it doesn't make sense to them. See, rather than being relevant to the word of God, they want to change the word of God to be relevant to them. Relevant to them. Oh, no. I think of Naaman. Remember Naaman, the leper? He was an Assyrian, big shot in the Assyrian army. He had leper. So one of his slaves, who happened to be an Israelite, says, why don't you go to this man, Elijah? He's in Israel, and he can heal you. So Naaman gets his big entourage and gets his trumpets. They come, and they knock on Elijah's door. Elijah didn't even answer the door the first time, because Elijah's, I think, one of those great, cool guys that says, don't bother me. When I'm ready, I'll come out to you. And I love that. And he knocked on the door of Naaman, and Naaman says, I'm ready to be healed. And Elijah says, okay, see that dirty old stream over there to Jordan? Go jump in 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman goes, what? Naaman, see my entourage? I'm number 3 under the king. I'm going to jump in no dirty river. There's plenty of rivers in Assyria to jump in if I want to do that. And the word of God says he went away really mad. He went, well, really? And he got a huff and he walked away and really mad. And thank God, one of those Israelite servants said, Naaman, my master, Just go to the guy. I know he could heal you. Take a chance, will you please? And somehow Naaman listened to the little slave person there, and he went back in, and he jumped in 7 times. Now, everybody was looking at him. He was leprous. But we know the story. He came out that 7th time, and he was healed. See, he doubted the man of God. He doubted God's word. Why? What causes doubt? Sometimes God is going to work and do miracles the way other than what you think. See, Naaman thought Elijah was going to lay hands on him, boom, that's it. No. And Naaman started to doubt God because God didn't work according to what Naaman thought he was going to work. Don't doubt God when you pray and when you seek God and he answers your prayer, but he answers in ways that you think not. See, God is not always going to consult with you to make sure that what you say he'll do. Can I borrow you a second? Come here, 1 second. Just come right up here, 1 second. Just real fast, 1 second. All right, what's your first name? Mark. Mark? Okay, Mark, just stand there, okay? I'm God, and Mark is man. Don't wait, Mark. He's humanity, okay? He's humanity, and I'm God. So here I am. Say, Mark, don't put your arm in. Okay, Mark. Okay, let me get someone else. No, okay, stay right here. Okay, I'm God, humanity. Hey, listen, man, humanity. I'm going to heal a couple of people. What's the best way I should go about it? What do you think? Give me some suggestions. Okay, listen, I'm going to do a couple more things. I'm going to kind of, you know, I'm just going to send a revival upon the earth. And I'm thinking about doing this. And what's one of the best ways I can send a revival? What do you think? Because I kind of go value your opinion. So. Okay, good. And then maybe one more time. And okay, get the message. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it, all right? Get the message. God doesn't do that. Sometimes we'd like him to do that. Sometimes you got a prayer thing going and God would like God to come and say, listen, what do you think I should do? Well, God, If I were you, I would do this, I would do that, I would do this, I would do that. Now, we like that sometimes because it gives us control. But guess who's not in control? You, me. God is in control. So you know what we do? We don't doubt God when he works in ways other than what we think. See? Because he's still on the throne. He's still God. And even though he may work in ways that maybe I wouldn't, I believe you, God. And I don't doubt you. Because I know you. I know that you're good. I know you. I know your promises. I know you, God. I know your covenant with me. Oh, I got a history with you, God. I know you. And you know him. Don't be upset when he works in ways other than what you think. Amen? Watch out for that. Oh, my Lord. So sometimes how do we start to doubt God? Maybe where our own feelings of fear, anger, and pain, they come up and we start to doubt God sometimes. Maybe in your trials you start to get weary and discouraged in your trials. Maybe sometimes that there's something in your heart that you really never gave to God. There's something in there that you gave God most of your heart. But sometimes those inner chambers of your heart, those things you hold on to, whether it be a memory or a pain or an issue or a situation, that's where doubt travels. Doubt looks for those closed doors of the heart, the ones that haven't been opened to the Lord yet. And sometimes when you hold those things in your heart and you're not up front with God, sometimes doubt tries to go right there and use those things to make you think that God's not who he is. Sometimes we get our eyes off God and onto the world too much. Sometimes, like Thomas, we believe what we can see. We believe what we can understand with our finite mind, my Lord. And sometimes we think that we can understand all the things of God, and when they don't make sense, we don't kind of believe him. I've got to ask you a question. I'm going to start to wind this down now. And I want you to answer this question, and you can shout out yes or no, okay? If you shout out the wrong answer, I'm going to kill you, okay? All right? Did God ever break a promise?
No.
Okay, that was real weak. Come on one more time. Did God ever break a promise?
No.
Okay, then why do you doubt some of his promises? Come on, he gave you promises about your family, backslidden loved one you're praying for. He gave you promises about you, about your lot in life, even coming here to Mount Zion. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, we have great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. Isaiah 55 says in verse 10, and I'm going to paraphrase it, whatever I sent my word out to do, I'm going to accomplish it. It's not going to come back to me void. It's going to come back to me fulfilled. That's a promise. If you believe that, why sometimes do you doubt that he's going to answer that prayer? Or why sometimes do we allow that fear to creep in? God, are you really here? One thing, I got a few victories in my life. One of the victories God has put in my life is, I never ask God, where are you? I used to. I don't ask that anymore. Because I know where he is. He's right here. Because he gave me a promise. He'll never leave me. Never forsake me. Never be. I choose to believe that. See, when I doubted that, I would ask, God, where are you? Don't you know what I'm going through, God? Come on, everybody left me, God, and I'm all by myself in this thing, God. I don't ask, where are you, God? I know where he is. And I stop asking why, God. Tragedies in my life, situations, I never ask, why, God? Why did this happen, God? This is Angela. This is me. I'm your buddy, God. We're friends. Come on. I'm a nice guy. Why did this happen, God? I don't ask that. Because I know that he's a good God. And I know that he always has a plan. And I know that whatever he does is because he's a good God. So I don't have to ask, why did this happen, God? You're a good God and you got your reasons. And I trust you. And I believe you. In eternity, God, if you want to show me answers, that's up to you. But I don't need them, God, because I trust you. And I don't doubt one thing you do, God. Not one thing. I got to ask you another question. Is our piano player here, the guy who played piano, the young man? Guy, I'm sorry. Is that? Could you play? I just want to just have a time of prayer. If you could just play in the background, and then we'll send you the check next week. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, God cannot lie. Now, if he can't lie, do we take everything he says as truth? Yeah. So you don't have to doubt him because whatever he says is truth. Even though sometimes it may go against what we think or how we would imagine he's going to work. Romans 4:21 says, what he has promised, he's able to perform. Oh, Jesus. Whatever he promised you, what did he promise you? Salvation of your family? What did he promise you? Healing for that person? What did he promise you? If you don't doubt that he's well able to do it, you're going to have peace about that thing. I'd ask you one more question. Were the promises of God ever taken back by him? No, no. They weren't taken back. Hebrews 11:23 says, for he's faithful that promised. Not one promise that God has in his word of God has he ever taken back. You could never doubt him again. Never doubt that as long as you have that promise. That's why you got to be in this word. That's why every day, morning, noon, and night, I know you're busy. I'm busy too. But you have to be in this word. Because this is our foundation. See, this is where the promises are. And when you know what he promised you, when that devil of doubt tries to come up and lie to you, you can say, get out of here. I'm not listening to that. I know what he promised me. And he's faithful to do it. And you stand on that word and you don't doubt him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. And that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You never have to doubt one promise again. I got to ask you a question. And I want you to answer yes or no. Is there anything beyond the power of God to do? No. So why are you afraid of that mountain? Why is that Goliath intimidating you? Why is that mountain starting to make you doubt some things? And you're starting to look back. You're starting to look back a little bit. And maybe think of an escape route when times get tough. See, the Word of God says, Romans 13:1, for there is no power but of God. The God who loves you has all power. Never doubt that. And anything that you come against, a mountain, a Goliath, whatever, your God who happens to love you, who happens to adore you, who happens to want to be with you every second of every day, that's why he can't wait to get us home in eternity. Uninterrupted fellowship with God. That's the God who loves you. And that's the God who says, I have all power for you. There's nothing you could ask that's beyond my reach. There's nobody you could pray for that's beyond my reach. See, that's why we don't have to doubt him anymore. Because all power is of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, the faith we have is not in the wisdom of man, but in what? The power of God. Well, God, if you got all power and you love me and you gave me promises, what am I to be afraid of, God? What am I to be discouraged again, God? He gave me everything I need. Genesis 18:14 says, is there anything too hard for him? No. No, he knows you, the things you need. And there's nothing too hard for him. That's why we don't doubt him anymore. I guess you know my question. Has God's grace stopped? No. God didn't go, what's today's date? Today's the what, 29th, right? 29th, 20, 30th? Good, I'm doing good. God didn't say, okay, on September 30th at Mount Zion, you know what? I've had it with grace. Boom, that's the end of grace. Guys, you're on your own. I see you. Take care. Good luck. Hope you make it to heaven. Goodbye. No. He doesn't do that. What's the word of God say? He gives us abundant grace. That on your worst day, and sometimes we get worst days, don't we? On your worst day that you ever had in life, where sometimes you don't even feel saved anymore, you're covered by grace. You are covered by grace. God's not mad at you. He's not disappointed at you. He knows you. He loves you. And sometimes in those bad days where, man, God, get me through this day, God, you know, he covers you by grace. And the Word of God says you have the exceeding riches of his grace at your disposal. You always have his grace to hold you, to strengthen you, to get you through no matter what. That's why we never have to doubt him. Amen? Is God's mercy over? Quickly, turn to Psalm 136. Is God's mercy for you when you cry out for mercy? Lord, have mercy on me. Is his mercy over? I don't think so. Psalm 136. When we need his mercy. And I want you to read the second half of the scripture with me. In each one it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Why? For his mercy endures forever. Verse 2, read it again. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods. Why? For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. And you go down and down and down. And his mercy endures forever. And his mercy endures forever. And his mercy endures forever. That's why you don't have to doubt him. Why? He gives me mercy every day. Every day he gives me mercy. Every day he holds me. Every day he fills me with grace and love and mercy, praise God. That you don't ever have to doubt him again. God, where are you? God, you're right here. Why? And you shower me with mercy, Lord Jesus. Even when I blow it, God. Even when I sin, God. I repent and bring it to you, God, and in your mercy you restore me, God. In your mercy, God, you don't let the devil grab me out of your hands, Lord Jesus. You hold me, God, with such vice grips he holds you. He holds you with hands of mercy. Never doubt his mercy. Never doubt how much he loves you. Never doubt how much he cares for you. I'm going to ask you two more questions and we'll close. Has God changed over these years? Man, I know some people were chameleons over these last years. I mean, they change according to the weather, change according to... And some people do that. And we change. We grow, we change, we do this, we do that. That's why, you know what? God never changes. The Word of God says, I am the Lord God and I change not. And Jesus is the same, yes, I tame forever. That means you could trust that he's going to be the same for you. He doesn't change his attitude with you with the wind. One day he's mad at you. One day he's not mad at you. One day he's up. One day he's having a bad day. Don't pray right now. He's not listening. He's having a hard day. No. He doesn't change. That his love is for you forever. That if he answered prayer, if he stopped the sun and moon and stars for Joshua, don't you think he's going to do it for you? Maybe not the literal moon. Maybe it will be someday if that's his plan. But maybe that sun and moon and stars to win those battles in your life, he'll do that too. He'll open up Red Seas for you. Why? He doesn't change. What he did for Paul, what he did for Peter, what he did for Moses. Oh my Lord, what he did for all those heroes of that Bible. What he did for the Rahabs. Oh, what he did for the Mary Magdalens, what he did for them. He'll do it for you. Why? He doesn't change. And he loves you as much as he loved them. And that's my last question. Has God ever stopped loving you? Of course not. Of course not. See, you don't have to doubt his love for you ever again. Because he loves you, the Word of God says, with an everlasting love. That means there's nothing, and you know the scripture, we'll read it in a second. There's nothing that can stop him from loving you. He so loves you. I remember one time I had a problem receiving love. Even when I first got saved, it's that love that really changed me. But I was so caught in what I used to do and who I used to be and all those crazy, terrible things. I felt so guilty. Now, here I am, God loving me. When I first got saved, I would say, God, no, don't love me. You know, love my wife and my kids. I don't deserve it, God. I know what I've done. And I know what you say about forgiveness. I know that, but I'm not there yet. And don't love me. And every time I would go before him and say, God, don't love me. I don't deserve that love. I know who I am. I know what I was, God. His only answer was another shower of love, a wave of love. And I kept resisting for a long time. No, God, no. Don't love me, God. I felt my heart breaking. No, God, don't. I know what I've done, God. You can't love me. No, God, no. A wave after wave after wave of love. Where God to a point where says, go ahead, Lord, shower me, go ahead. I give in. I give in, man. You want to love me, Lord Jesus. And that's what changed me. When I let that love in, that's what changed me. That's what changed everything in my life. See, God has never stopped loving you. He's never, ever, ever stopped loving you. And you got to understand that. The Word of God says he loves us with a great love. You never have to doubt him again. Because with that love comes care and compassion. Oh, you know what God does all day? Whatever a day is to him. You know what he does all day? You ready for this? I'm very serious. You know what he does all day? He thinks of you. Absolutely, right now. You, not the person next to you, you. All he does all day is, how's she doing? How's he doing? Hey, need anything? I'm right here. Give me a call. All he does all day is think of you. Yeah, you. Now, maybe not too many people have thought about you. But all he does all day is think of you. He loves you. You never have to doubt that again. What's that Word of God say? We know that Word of God. Well, I don't have to really know it. The Word of God says so clearly, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not any problem, not any attitude, not anything from the outside. Nothing nowhere can separate you from that love. So I just want to share with you today, my people, and that's why I wanted to come. For all these things, grace, the power of God, the promises we have in him, the mercy we have, he doesn't change, he never stopped loving us. There's no reason to ever doubt him again. No reason to ever doubt anything about Christ again. And if you do have those doubts, you know what? We're going to bring them to God today. And we're going to ask God, God, restore faith. God, touch me today, God. Maybe there are some things, God, I'm not sure of, God. Maybe there are some things, maybe because of my past, God. Maybe I have a hard time receiving love too, God. Or maybe I doubt, God, how I got here at Mount Zion, God. Lord, today, God, I want to give you every doubt. I want to give you every challenge challenging my faith. And Lord, what I want to ask you today, Lord, is would you, Lord God, just restore my faith? Touch my faith today, God. Just touch me. That's all I want you to do, God. Just touch my faith today. And let those doubts dissolve. Begin a work today, God, that you may carry the next few days. Even maybe into tonight. But today, Lord God, right now, today, Lord God, just restore my faith. And just touch me right now. And we don't usually do this, but I want to pray for you. If that is you, I just want you to come down to your altar and I want to pray for you. And no one's going to know what the doubt is because we all get doubts. I'm there too sometimes, okay? But if that's you, just come down and just kneel before the altar. We're going to pray. And God's going to take these doubts, sometimes the fears and all the things we spoke of. And you know what? God's going to settle it today, my people. He's going to settle it today. He's going to settle it. And sometimes I get loud when I pray at altar calls, but not today. Because I think in a sweet spirit, he's going to just so touch us. And just in a sweet spirit today. No more doubts. Let's go before him and pray. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that when we don't know what to do, or when we don't know where to go, we come to you. For you are our God, and you love us so much. So, Lord Jesus, in this beautiful spirit that we have here today, God, even started even before our praise and worship today, God, we just come to you right now. And Father, thank you that in my heart, God, you've touched me with my doubts and my fears, Lord Jesus. And you've turned my heart, God. But Father, today we pray for those who've come forward, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. God, you know sometimes those doubts and the challenges to our faith. And you know why, God. Maybe, like I said, some things from our past or our fears and our own pains, Lord Jesus. Or maybe, God, things happened that kind of shook our faith, Lord Jesus. But Father, we just come to you right now because you've never been mad at us. You've never been disappointed at us, Lord Jesus. Because you love us, God, with, just as we said, such a great love, such an everlasting love. So we just come before you right now. And Lord, help us with these doubts. Father, we give them to you. Every doubt, God. Every piece of unbelief in our heart, Lord Jesus. No matter how it got there, it's not important, God. But Father, you know what they are. So Father, every doubt, every concern, every problem, everything that would include unbelief in it right now, Father, we just lay it at the cross. And God, we know that today that cross is the place of exchange. That's where we come alive, God. That's where we exchange our death for your life. But also today, God, that's where we exchange our doubts, our fears, our concerns. We lay them down at the cross. And we walk away with faith. So Lord Jesus, by your Spirit and Holy Spirit, we just pray you right now. Holy Spirit, just move amongst us right now. By your sweetness right now. Just move amongst each and every one of us right now, God. And Lord, as you pick up all those doubts, all the hurts and fears and angers that go along with them, Father, I thank you that you touch us with faith. Holy Spirit, restore faith. Oh, Holy Spirit, restore faith, God. That faith that maybe we had some time ago before these doubts creeped in. That faith, God, that day that we got saved, we knew, God. Oh, Father, bring us back to that doubtlessness, God. Oh, make us like Paul, God, doubtless, God. No doubts, God. No unbelief, Lord Jesus. Not when we have your promises, God. Not when we have your presence, God. Not when we know your power, your grace, your mercy, God. Not knowing that you've never changed, God. And, Father, that you continue to love us so much. So, God, by your Spirit right now, Holy Spirit, just touch us. In any way you want right now, Holy Spirit, you just touch us. And Holy Spirit, fill us with faith. Restore faith. Restore peace. Oh Lord, so many of us have lost peace. Restore peace. And God, I believe that also so many of us have lost joy because of these doubts. God, restore that joy, that happiness inside of us, God. The joy that comes from so knowing you, God. And so knowing that your love so fills us. So Holy Spirit, today, just move, Holy Spirit. We receive it by faith. We don't have to shout it down, God. We don't have to spit nickels, Lord Jesus. All we have to do is receive it by faith. Holy Spirit, thank you for touching us today. Fill us right now, God. Peace and strength. Faith, God, restore. Restore faith, Lord Jesus. We lay all the doubts down. And Lord, I know for many, God, what you begin today, you'll continue, God, into today and maybe the next few days, Lord Jesus. But Father, thank you there'll be those around us, God, to pick us up and hold us, God, and to pray with us and for us, Lord Jesus, because you put together a family here at Mount Zion, God. We're not just different people from different backgrounds. We're one, God. And Father, we don't know anything getting between us, Lord Jesus. So Father, thank you today for your sweet touch. Thank you today, God, that doubts are being dissolved and melted away from the warmth of your presence, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Take us through, God, all the way. All the way, Lord Jesus. Take us through all the way. And we receive by faith what you're doing today, God. Thank you for strengthening us. In your holy name. In your holy name. Oh, such love. Such love. Just let that love shower you right now. Let that wave of love just come upon you. That's where the doubts go. That's where the fears and pains melt away. Fill us right now, God. Fill us, Holy Jesus. Absolute dependence on Christ. And what he begins today, I believe he'll continue even the rest of our lives. I know he is with me. Because he's a good God. And he loves you so much. Let's just stay in his presence just for a few more moments. And let him confirm his word to us. And let him confirm what the Holy Spirit's doing in our heart right now. It's a new day. It's a brand new day. And with Christ, every day is a brand new day. And it's going to be a good day. Because we have Christ. Restore faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just to yourself, very quietly, just begin to thank him. Just very quietly to yourself, begin to thank him. Because he's doing a great work. And you're going to be just fine. Because he loves you.